Friends, I'm turning this evening to the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 15. Hebrews, chapter 13, and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Friends, in a single study this evening, I want us to reflect on the practice of praise and thanks. The practice of praise and thanks. It is such a vital thing, and it must have such a lively place in the Christian's heart. And this is our purpose this evening, is to show why this is so important and why a Christian should be a praising and thanking person, and such a wonderful benefit it brings. You may not think of that very easily, but it brings such a benefit if I'm such a person whose heart is full of sincere praise to the Lord. And so I would like, first of all, to try and expand this verse a bit, and then I would want to speak about the benefit to our souls by him, and this is by the Lord Jesus Christ, because all praise to God has to be by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. It is in his merits what he did for us. So this tells us very clearly that the practice of praise can only be done by Christians, those who know the Lord, who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and have their hopes upon him alone. So by him, in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, entirely trusting in what he did, that we approach God even with our praise, just as we approach God in prayer only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our praise also is the same. We go to God through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, depending entirely upon him. Now why should we approach God even when we are offering praise? Why should we approach him through the Lord Jesus Christ? That's simply because we would not know who he is, and we wouldn't bring worthy praise unless we are made new in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would not be able to praise worthily. I would speak a little about that later. But by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And so by him, we offer the sacrifice. You know, it's drawing from an Old Testament text, Old Testament picture, sacrifice. Because we do not offer animal sacrifices today. But if we approach God worthily in the Lord Jesus Christ with our praise, it is like the offerings of the Old Testament, if it was done with a genuine heart. And so by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Now, the word praise, I'm sure you may be aware, means to narrate. That's the root. It is a narration. Praise is really telling what the Lord has done. And I would explain even more later from one of the lines there, that you cannot dance praise. I'm sure everybody knows this. You know, in a typical charismatic church, the worship time is the time they sing the soft music with their hands raised and swinging here and there. And then when they come to the praise, it is the time of the dancing. You cannot dance praise. Praise is a narration, something said. And so we do that with our lips. The verse will tell us very soon. And so it is a narration, a rehearsal of what the Lord has done. We come before him and we rehearse his mighty works. And we rehearse the things he's done for his people and for the church. So that is praise. Let us offer sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, you see. It flows from the lips. It's only the lips that we can, with which we can praise the Lord. You know, language is a unique gift. Only humans have the gift of language.
of words, speaking in clear words and describing things. And when we come before Almighty God, God would want us to describe exactly the kind of things we are amazed at, the kind of wonderful things He's done. As we narrate them, the Bible calls that praise, and it has a powerful impact on our hearts. I will get into that very soon, if it is done very genuinely. It's true, somebody can offer praise to God, and it's only a mere lip service. That's true. But it doesn't mean that every praise offered with a lip is empty, because when the heart is in it, it's very wonderful before God. And so we have that unique gift. And as I was saying, you cannot dance praise. What will it say? What will it tell the Lord? You know that the bees that give us honey are giving their gift of dance to communicate. As a bees, and because God is giving them the gift of dance to communicate, they know how to vary it. They know how to give different sorts of information through dancing. But of course, if a human being decides to use dancing to praise God, if he's praising God because of salvation, what kind of dance will he use? If he chooses to praise God because God has healed his sickness, what kind of dance will he use? Can he vary it? Can somebody, by watching, see what this person means? Oh, we can read from this dancing that this person is praising God for his salvation, and that this person is praising God. The praise has to be so specific. Otherwise, it's not praise. I was just saying that our God is giving the bees the gift of communication with dance. You know, for bees, I'm sure you know, this is quite fascinating when you read about them. You know, when bees want to communicate with themselves, they come to their hive, and a bee, if they have their scouts, the one who would go out there to find out nectar, where there's something, anything that's sugar in it. And once he finds it, only one will go. And he can travel several miles. And when he comes to the hive, he comes to give information what he's found. Maybe he went all the way to, say, Malam or something like that to get nectar there. He comes with information. And by dancing, he communicates to the others. He comes, and if he found the nectar, and this is a proven thing, I'm not wasting your time with this, but because I'm sure that charismatics will realize that they cannot really dance praise, because we are never given the capacity to communicate with dance. But the Lord gave that to animals like bees. Now these bees, when it comes home to the hive and it's telling the others that he's found a nectar, you know, when the nectar is really mildly sweet, it shakes itself mildly. When the nectar is really sweet, it shakes itself very vigorously to say, really, really sweet. And he can even, as he dances, the dimension he chooses, how he faces, tells the others in the scout the direction of the nectar. And it is a proven fact that he so shows it by dancing that even if he doesn't join them, if the rest of the bees in the hive decide to go to get the nectar, and he doesn't, the scout didn't go with them, the others can find the place exactly. And this is amazing. But you know, we were given language, not dance. I'm not getting into Psalm 50 where it said that praise the Lord with the dance, but only say this straightforward. When it said that praise the Lord with the dance, remember the stress isn't on the dance, the stress is on the praise. It isn't saying, the passage isn't saying, use a dance to praise God. That's not what it is saying. It is saying that, I'm reading into the passage for it to be clear, because in your festivities you dance, make sure that you actually give attention to praise. You will dance anyway at your festivities when you go to war, but as you do that, let the emphasis, let your concern be the praise. That will be the words that will be offered to God. And the dance will be your entertainment, the way you'd entertain yourself and express your joy because you are victorious. But stress, so praise the Lord. The praise is the emphasis in the verse and not the dance. as the entire chapter there shows. But my dear friends and sisters, look at it here. But that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Back in the Old Testament, the Lord hinted at this. Let me go to Hosea chapter 14. My purpose is not the technical aspect, my dear friends. I want us to see the benefit of praise. But I need to clear this ground just a little before I go on. Hosea chapter 14. And you have this beautiful passage here. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 2. Take to you words. Now this is the Lord addressing the people of Israel while they were in captivity. They were far away from their temple. And this is what the Lord is telling them. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. And listen to what follows. So will we render the calves of our lips. So would we render, if you like, if it's a sheep or goat, it should have red light. So we would render the sheep of our lips. In other words, we will render the offerings of our lips as if we were offering you an animal sacrifice. You see? And so right there in the Old Testament, the Lord hinted at a time when his people would entirely recognize that they are worship as they come with words and approach God with words, meaningful words, they would be as if they were sacrifices unto God, and God would accept that. Now friends, back to my passage in Hebrews chapter 13. But by him, therefore, let us offer sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise to God, continually. It has to be an unceasing thing. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so we are called upon to be a praising person. Look at the fact that it connects praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving walk hand in hand because they belong together. And that's what we do whenever we come before the Lord. And we are instructed that we do this continually, not sometimes, but always, as people who have been regenerated and blessed by the Lord. Friends, I want to reflect now over why is this so important? Why is it so necessary to be a praising person? I assume that you want to be a praising person because you are a Christian. As I said, if you're not a Christian, you really can't praise God. You may learn the words. You may learn just to say, I thank God for so and so. You may just learn to say, I praise God for such and such. But you can't do that genuinely because you have to do that through Christ and you do not know him. You have to do that as somebody who rests his hopes upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And you can't do that because you don't trust in Christ. And you've not yielded your heart to him. You have to do that sincerely, not an empty thing. It's not just the bare lip, but that lip's moved from the heart. And you can't do that. You cannot feel deeply. You cannot be amazed at what God has done. You cannot be amazed at his majesty. You cannot be melted and brought down in your own eyes by looking at who he is and what he's done. These things are for Christians, those who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ themselves, because Calvary is the beginning point. Calvary is the place where our hearts are brought to stand in amazement at God and his ways. And so only Christians can meaningfully praise the Lord and give him thanks. But why is this important? Why does God require this of us? Why does he want us as it were to mingle all our prayers with praises also? Meaningful, genuine, feelingful, praise flowing out of admiration and wonder of Almighty God. Why does God want us to do this? Well, the first reason is this, because it is God's due. That is what it is. He deserves from all his creatures this very praise and thanks and adoration. The problem is that the unconverted person has denied God this. has robbed him. One of the things they would stand before God's bar, God's judgment for, is that they robbed God of his due praise. They never brought him thanks. They never brought him sincere gratitude. They never felt that he owed him anything. And for this sake, they would have to give an answer before God. But if we are converted persons, we recognize this. And we recognize it is God's due. He has to be praised. He has to be adored. He has to be admired. Friends, I want to talk about other benefits later. But friends, you know, when you admire God, you wouldn't be admiring him and being St. Julie. You wouldn't be admiring mere men and women and Julie. You have seen a wonderful God, and you are amazed at his works, and everything and everyone seems so small before you. And you begin to realize the majesty of God alone. It's such a wonderful thing to adore him and to lift up your thoughts and reflect over who he is and what he's done, what his ways are like. And when this makes us amazed, then our own hearts are blessed also. And so, friends, it is God's due. We owe him this, and we must be paying it every day. Our text said, continually, let us bring praise to him. The second reason is this. Friends, it's the attribute of the new birth. When I am converted, when a person is brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's put into him that capacity for praise and thanks. So we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 that those who came to the Lord were praising God every time. It became their character. They were people who were rejoicing in God and are thankful for who he is and the wonderful things he's done. Friends, we have so much matter to praise him when we become converted. It's one of the reasons only Christians can praise the Lord. You know, unbelievers cannot praise him because they don't have enough matter. In fact, they're often very much limited. And they can't do it well anyway. And if they are tempted, they are very quickly cut off because they only can think of a few matters. Well, I thank God that I woke up this morning and things like that. Which, of course, it's good to do it, but it is so insufficient. But by conversion, we begin to see a whole door open to us. And we begin to see such wonderful things we can praise him for. We praise him for, of course, grace in the Lord Jesus. We praise him for the grace of our pardon and of heaven and of our future that we feel, of his promises, of the scriptures. We praise him of his dealings with us. He deals with us as a father dealeth with his children. We praise him for making our lives useful. We praise him for giving us light and understanding, that we now understand the meaning of life and life's purpose. We praise him for Christian friendship and its wonderful influence and shaping influence upon us. We praise him for the opportunities for our witness. With these things, we have so much matter to praise him. A child of God only has to reflect. If only we'll be reflecting, there'll be so much to praise God. And our devotions would have such a large time for this also. So friends, when we become converted, it becomes our character. We have grace to bring worthy praise to the Lord. Friends, another benefit is this. Praise and thanksgiving has a very powerful melting effect, I said. It melts stubbornness. It's an amazing remedy for a hardened heart. Now, it's a kind of prescription pastors would give to people. If somebody said, well, it seems I'm becoming indifferent. It seems I'm becoming disobedient. It seems I'm aware of a certain sin that won't go. And I'm becoming hardened and stubborn. I don't want to give up on that. And we tell him, well, if you are a Christian, do this. Go to Calvary. Reflect afresh. Go and remember where the Lord brought you. Remember how he dealt with you as a sinner. Remember the Savior who died on Calvary's cross. Remember the pardoning love that came to you when you repented and yielded your life to him. And if you truly are a child of God, as you reflect upon these things, the heart is moved. This is something that David was, the psalmist was speaking of. Please come with me. That psalm we read in our first scripture reading. Psalm 116. The first two verses is striking. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2, then I'll move down to two more verses down there. But I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The verse is saying thus, I love the Lord because he hath heard me. When he remembers answers to prayer, when he remembers God hearing him, his response is to say, I love this God. I want to live as one who truly loves him and follow him. This is what he means. And then come to verse 12. He's amazed at this. Why shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? You see, this amazement, isn't it? Why shall I render unto him? Why shall I give him for all his benefits toward me? I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will talk about his saving mercy towards me and call upon the name of the Lord. I will mention his name and let everybody see that the glory is his. He has blessed. You see, the psalmist isn't somebody who is saying, oh Lord, I thank thee for this mercy and that mercy and that mercy. But in actual fact, in his heart, he's congratulating himself. Of course, it is useless. It's not praise to God. It's a mere lip service. And the psalmist is saying, because he's so genuine, what shall I render unto the Lord and all his benefits toward me? This is the first thing I will do. I will lift up the cup of salvation. It is as if the offering that I lifted up to the Lord in the sacrifices, he says, I will lift up his salvation. I will, because the context is about his deliverances he's giving him. And so he says, I will lift up the cup of salvation. I'll let everybody see it has been the arm of the Lord that plucked me out of this sad state and call upon the name of the Lord. I will let everyone ascribe to him, including myself, glory to you. But then come to verse 14. This is the striking part. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. You see, it's more to say, well, whatever I have failed to do, and whatever vows I have owed him and I've not been willing to pay, I will pay them now. I will pay them. I will be faithful. I will honor every responsibility. I will honor every department of my responsibility towards the Lord. None of them will be left to lag behind anymore. And so, friends, praise is powerful. It melts the stubborn heart and brings us to really feel our gratitude towards God. Remember, was it Friday and Wednesday we're speaking about how we move from forgetfulness to indifference, to ingratitude, and then to hardness. When we forget, we become very, very dependent on ourselves. But a praising person will not forget, because he brings his benefits right to his mind's eye. And he will not sustain a rebellious heart towards the Lord, because he feels his praise, he feels his debt keenly. The other thing is that praise and thanksgiving puts every present trouble in perspective. Friends, it's a mighty gift to us. If I lose the capacity for sincere praise, troubles will overwhelm you. Some difficulties in difficulties in life will seem almost insurmountable. And they will really crowd your mind. But a praising person tells himself, by the act of praising, tells himself that, oh, even though I have these troubles, but look at so much that the Lord has done already. And so it helps you to begin to realize this one can also be dealt with. And friends, and so it is. This is why you'd remember that in Scripture, when the Lord's people encountered difficulties, like in Acts chapter 4, when there was that strong opposition to the word of God by the Pharisees, and they went before the Lord to pray, they started with praise. And then they could easily say, well, God is able to do something now. They went ahead and said, so Lord, raise your hand and do even more wonderful things. Even though they are being persecuted, they could say, Lord, rise and do wonderful things even more. Because they began with praise. Praising God for what He'd done, who He is, and the Savior He had sent. Friends, praise is a very powerful thing. It's that which would let us not be overwhelmed ever with any difficulty or trouble in life, however the size, however frightening it may appear. It will not overwhelm us at all, because it makes us see and put things in perspective. And Apostle Paul's solution in Romans chapter 8, he that did not keep his son away from us, will he not with him also freely give us all things? A genuine child of God, if he is moved by the wonder of Calvary, and he goes before God with sincere praising heart, you know, he begins to see that, why, there's nothing else that God isn't able to do for him, if it is his will. And so it puts his troubles in their proper perspective. Friends, we are the beneficiaries also, if we are praising persons. Praise the Lord, my dear friends, for Calvary. Praise Him for grace. Praise Him for electing love. These things are very melting, and they will let you see the smallness of everything. Another reason, praise, we know, strengthens faith mightily. Nothing strengthens faith than praise. Praising the Lord for what He done. Because when I come to the Lord praising Him, it flows from what I just said, where I see the problems to be so small, and so I can truly trust Him also. Praise, this is why it brings, it increases faith. Because praise, every praising person, every genuinely praising person, almost naturally becomes a very praying person also. You wouldn't find, my dear friends, we often say this from a pastoral experience, if you find somebody who is a praising person, hardly would you find such a person praying 10 minutes and 15 minutes and going away. Because, our friends, it naturally leads to so much more. Why? If he's a praising person, you have more matter to praise the Lord. And praise the Lord will take so much of his thinking and his heart before the Lord. And he will be moved to intercession. The God who had answered me this way, as David said in Psalm 116, I will bring even more requests to him. Oh, friends, do you want your prayer life to grow? You know, it's God's kindness. Begin with a sincere and earnest life of praise, and soon it will electrify your entire prayer life also. If you let praise die, it's likely the other departments of prayer would die also. And any praying person knows that one of the most difficult parts in prayer, we've mentioned this before, is the intercessory part, intercession, because it is utterly selfless, and so it's very hard to keep it up for any length of time. But a praising person, once he praises God and his heart is moved to see the wonder of Christ's love, and his heart is moved to see
the willingness of God to hear His people, because He comes to God in His praise with answers to prayer also, then it makes Him like us, dear Savior. He has a feeling for others also, and it moves Him to bring other requests to Him. It works in us genuine dependence upon the Lord. We would surely trust God and believe Him and follow Him also. Friends, let me touch on two or three more as time allows me. Praise also cheers the hearts of the Christian. It's a powerfully cheering blessing. Praise the Lord, and your heart will be so lifted up, and you become a cheerful person, and you would rejoice in Him so much. Friends, let's just look at something. In fact, it's in our hymn. I wanted to turn to the hymn. If you like, please, let me turn to the hymn, because it's into the passage. Let me turn to the hymn. Hymn number 77. And I think it's our version 1. Hymn number 77. It's the hymn writer proceeds in a very beautiful way. Hymn number 77, version 1. Look at, he begins in the prayer from our stanzas 1 to 3. He's in a situation of real depression, and he's very much troubled. To God will I direct my prayer, and He will make my needs His care. I'll trust Him through times of grief, though trouble seem without relief. And then at times when trials and sorrows fall, when faithless fears and doubts are poured, I ask in fear and bitterness, O God, forsake me in distress. You see, this is a very depressed state. Has God forgotten to be kind? Shall I His promise faithless find? Will He cast off and nevermore His favor to my soul restore? You see, he's in a state of really questioning the Lord. But look at what he does, and that's what we do in praise, verse 4. Recalling our times, this is recalling times when faith was bright and songs of gladness shared each night. Those blessed joys of long ago make deeper my present woe. And he accuses himself now. These doubts and fears which trouble me are born of my infirmity. Though I am weak, God is most high. Do you see, I'm beginning to reflect upon the Lord now. Though I am weak, God is most high, and on His goodness I rely. And then he purposes to do this. I'll fix my gaze on things above and meditate on thy love. You see, I will not allow myself to be cast down. I will meditate on His love. And then, recounting all thy works and ways until my heart responds in praise. Because as he reflects and reflects, his heart will be awakened to see what the Lord has already done. He recounts the works of the past also. And the psalmist in Psalm 77, it's based on Psalm 77. And he speaks of how his heart will be cheered and will rejoice. If we are praising persons, my dear friends, we will never lack cheer. We will never run short of gladness and a thankful heart every time. And so it is again a benefit for us. Now, a praising person makes a solid progress in holiness. It is connected with the stubbornness, but I chose to separate that because I want to stress that, because it has a particular benefit in holiness. Usually, the kind of things, friends, and I want to make this very helpful. Hebrews chapter 12 speaks about besetting sins. Besetting sins are sins that stay for too long. They stay in our lives and they won't go. We may be people, we may be saved persons, but that act of disobedience, that act of sin, we try to overcome sometimes and it comes again. We picture that because of the picture the Bible gives us to a special case of disease where the immune system itself is gone.
And so the medicines that the person takes isn't functioning, because the body that would sustain, that would hold up the power of the medicine to fight the disease, is itself weakened. And so, as a doctor would propose, a number of things to strengthen the system also. You are taking the medicine for the illness, but something also to strengthen the body system, so that it both supports the medicine and supports the body also to fight off that disease. Beset and sins has to be dealt with that way. And one thing that comes alongside a few others we can mention, but only for tonight I'm mentioning this one. One thing we do is that as I go to the Lord and confess that sin and lay it before Him and cry to Him to have mercy upon me and wash me, now very earnestly plead with Him and make it an earnest practice of our praise. Praise the Lord. Strive by reflecting much on what the Lord has done to let your heart feel the wonder of the love of Christ. The wonder that God has received you as His child. Friends, if your praise becomes very genuine and it flows from your heart, it will have that effect that James speaks about in James chapter 3. For example, you would say, I cannot praise God with this lip, and I allow this lip to be careless also. I cannot praise God, as James said, how can the same lip say nice things if we use it in worship, but at the same time also we use it against people? And James says it cannot be. The lips that praises God and sincerely takes His praise seriously, and His praise doesn't become a mere lip service. They are thoughtful. They are genuine. They are heartfelt. Put a strain upon the lip. The lip has become an organ for the Lord now. The child of God begins to realize, my lip is an organ for the Lord. And it cannot be used so lightly for something else. It is an organ of praise. It cannot be an organ for something unworthy and something unclean. There's a very beautiful illustration in Exodus chapter 30. I'm not turning to it. It's in Exodus chapter 30. In that chapter, God told the people of Israel to make two objects. These were incense. One of them was oil, and the other one was the incense for the temple. The oil was to be used to anoint the priest and the high priest. And the incense was the one that was supposed to be burnt in the temple for the Lord. And what is striking is that God said that that oil is so dedicated to God, it's so sacred, set apart for God, that no one should make any kind like it. In fact, the Lord spoke so strongly and said, if anyone made a kind like it, he should be cut off from Israel. So no one should smell that ointment, because it's for the priest. No one should use that incense in his house, because that's for the temple. It's exclusively God's. It's entirely His. It's set apart for Him. It's not for common use. Friends, you know our hearts when we are Christians, it's for God's. It's not for common use. Well, the Bible said that we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. We are not for common use. We are His. And a Christian feels this keenly as he, in every department of his life, but as he becomes a praising person, he feels this also on himself. I cannot be that light and loose on my tongue. It is for the Lord. It is for His praise. It is set apart for His honor. My lips are for Him. And it has to serve His purposes alone. And then we begin to want to be so careful what we say. Praise, when I am a praising person, it checks us also. Let me please, if I can show you the root, as it were. Colossians chapter 3. And preachers like to show this as one of the routes to godliness. And it comes through the idea of praise and thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, it's clear that it talks about giving thanks to God, but how does it help with holiness? And it's this, it's preachers all like to stress this. They say this, that this is how it helps. If I want to take a certain decision, and I don't seem to know what the Bible speaks about that, ask yourself that question. Can I sincerely thank the Lord about it? Can I bring the matter? Can I take the Lord with me to that thing? And therefore, be able to thank Him for it. And all conscientious Christians realize they can't if the thing is questionable. I cannot really thank God that I bought something which I shouldn't buy. I spent my time in a way I shouldn't. Can I really thank the Lord? After, if we discourage this very much, if I'm that kind of person that spend undue time behind the television, for example, can you really remember the passage is saying, whatsoever thing you do, do with such that you can give thanks? Can you really say, Lord, I thank thee for that film I watched? And you begin to see that it feels very irksome. You really feel uncomfortable to say a thing like that, and therefore you don't have to do it. If you cannot really thank and praise Him for it, don't do it. That's the meaning of this passage. Don't do it. Because a child of God wants everything he does to be able to go to God and say, I thank thee that you gave me opportunity to do it. I thank thee that you gave me opportunity to do it. And if you can't do that, then don't do it. Because it displeases the Lord then. And so it gives a kind of a key. Even when you don't seem to know whether it's right or not, probably because you're not matured enough, this helps us. Can I really thank the Lord for it? Can I praise Him? As it's a great help in growing in our personal holiness and making us so careful about ourselves. Friends, this is another way that it brings us into growth in holiness. I've mentioned throughout, my dear friends, praise. Praising God. You see that even unbelievers can do that, try to do that. But friend, the point is this. If anyone has the capacity to praise God in sincerity, he will be a sincere person also. If he can truly come to God and from his heart, out of a sincere sense that I owe it to God, I'm not only saying it and then secretly congratulating myself, I'm entirely ascribing all the honor to Him, and I'm amazed that He should so deal with me, and I'm so moved that He should so be kind to me. And if He can sincerely bring praise to God, you can be truly sincere. If you cannot be really sincere in praise, you will be sincere in anything. You will learn firsthand how to really do the superficial things for impression without the heart. So praise is a very powerful test and help for us. If I'm truly moved, if I'm truly moved to thank the Lord and to praise Him, then I will become a sincere person also. And you know that the Christian life begins with sincerity, without which nothing moves. Nothing of the Christian life moves without sincerity. Friends, I come back to my passage and I begin to close. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, by Him
the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. It is a narration, a rehearsal, with our lips, but feeling full, genuine, amazed, in wonder of what the Lord has done to God continually. It has to be a continual thing. My dear friends, let me press upon our hearts once again as I close. Please pray for a daily opportunity to stand in amazement of God, to be amazed before Him, to stand in wonder. When was the last time you stand amazed and your heart felt very silent because you were amazed at who the Lord is and what He's done? When was the last time you stood in wonder? Friends, wonder is such a powerful blessing. It humbles. It humbles tremendously. It dwarfs you in your own eyes. It makes you small in your own eyes. And it makes God all the more greater in your eyes. Oh friends, we have to learn how to stand amazed and be moved by His majesty. Praise is the way to go. So never rush in praising. Take time to think. Take time to reflect. Take time to have the detail. Some detail. Don't rush with the lips, as Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says. Don't rush with your lips. Don't rush to say things. Think through them. Make sure you feel them. And you're amazed at them. And then narrate them. State them before the Lord in a sense of wonder. It is the fruit of our lips, but it is a lip moved by the heart. And it will be such a blessing to us. And it will work so mightily, humbling us before the Lord, leading us to grow in holiness, melting the heart from stubbornness. And we will be paying our due. We owe it to God. And God blesses those who take seriously the debt they owe Him and try, if they can, to pay a bit of that. May the Lord help us and make us a praising people. Then we will be happy persons, rejoicing in our Savior. Now let's close, friends, singing together hymn number 472. Hymn number 472.